Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with a reading of and analysis of an article entitled Fascism à la Mode, subtitled In France, the Far Right Presses for National Purity. That's authored by David Zane Meyerowitz, capital M-A-I-R-O-W-I-T-Z. It's from Harper's Magazine's issue of October of 1997, researched for us by a member of the listening audience. And in particular, as I stated in the first half-hour segment, pay attention to tactical and rhetorical similarities and strategic similarities between the National Front in France, a fascist political party growing in power and influence with roots firmly planted in the fascist Vichy collaborationist regime of World War II, and among other institutions, the American far right, as exemplified by the Republican Party and Newt Gingrich. We're going to continue with from where we left off with this particular article. Now, note some of the appeal that Jean-Marie Le Pen has with the average working Frenchman or woman. I would suggest in the context of what is about to follow, that an American observer should consider some of the appeal that Pat Buchanan has here in the United States. It's not unlike some of Jean-Marie Le Pen's appeal as well. Continuing with this article. Le Pen recently appeared at a public meeting with a plate bearing a plaster modeled of the severed head of Catherine Trautmann, capital T-R-A-U-T-M-A-N-N, the mayor of Strasbourg and now minister of culture in the new socialist government. Supporting his daughter Marie-Caroline's campaign in the town of Mont-la-Jolie, he waded into a group of 200 anti-front demonstrators and roughed up the socialist candidate, a woman. To date, Pat Buchanan has not, as far as I know, beaten up any women, but so far it would appear that that is one tactic in which Le Pen has stolen a march on his American right-wing associates and colleagues. Continuing. He has also been known to lower his trousers in front of reporters, and this has surely hurt him among swing voters. But for his own hardcore supporters, especially in the more macho culture of the South, such behavior simply reinforces the idea that this is a man who has the courage of his convictions, who, quote, talks straight, unquote, while most politicians waffle. Straight talk goes a long way in this part of France, especially with the so-called pieds noirs, the hundreds of thousands of French Algerians who settled in the South after being chased out of North Africa when Algeria gained its independence in 1962. Historically lied to by all the traditional parties, they bear a particular grudge against de Gaulle for, quote, giving up on, quote, Algeria, and many of them would never dream of voting for a Gaullist such as Chirac. Le Pen's populist tactics appeal to their sense of persecution. Not only did the Arabs kick us out of Algeria, but now they're colonizing France. Cynically playing on the famous Arab nationalist slogan, Algérie, Algérienne, Le Pen warns that we will be facing a France Algérienne unless something is done, unquote. And note again the similarity between the National Front's anti-immigrant sentiment and exploiting people's resentment of not only immigrants, but in particular immigrants whose skin color is something other than white, with some of the tactics being used by people like Pat Buchanan and the Republican Party, local politicians here in California, such as Pete Wilson, the governor of the state. Again, I'm suggesting that these are not only superficially similar, but are essentially the same tactic with essentially the same ultimate motive. And I think one should not in any way mistake some of the tactics of the American right as being, quote, conservative, unquote. They are not conservative. They are fascist with a capital F and should be understood as such. Continuing. Daniel Simon-Pierre, S-I-M-O-N-P-I-E-A-Q-R-I, the front mayor of Marignan, has been doing something. Responsible as mayor for daily banalities such as school meals, he has eliminated non-pork lunches from public school cafeterias. This means that on days when pork is on the menu, Jewish or Muslim children have no choice but to eat it or, preferably, leave the premises. Education officials in Marignan claim that this measure is strictly, quote, budgetary, unquote. In the Toulon marketplace, vendors of African and West Indian foodstuffs have had their stalls closed on the grounds that only locally grown produce can legally be sold there. More important, family allowances and social security payments are in the hands of front bureaucrats who claim that foreign families steal these benefits from Frenchmen. Although local governments cannot legally refuse such payments, they can and do create bureaucratic obstacles that make it almost impossible for immigrants, unquote, to claim their money. Note also the war waged by the American right and even by elements of the, quote, center, including the Clinton administration, on, quote, welfare recipients, unquote. Although I'm not at all sympathetic to the right-wing's approach to immigration, for example, I also do not favor free immigration. I'm not sure exactly what an intelligent policy towards immigration in the United States would be, but whatever it is, quote, immigrants, unquote, and people on welfare are not responsible for this country's problems. The Reagan administration, with a Republican majority in the Senate and a de facto Republican majority in the House of Representatives, with the so-called boll weevils, conservative Southern Democrats who voted the Republican agenda almost completely, the Reagan administration almost tripled the American national debt in 8 years. National debt was $900 billion when Jimmy Carter left office, when Reagan left office 8 years later. Having come into office on a banner of fiscal responsibility and conservatism, the national debt was $2.6 trillion, or almost three times what all of the U.S. presidents from George Washington through Jimmy Carter combined had amassed. That is hardly conservatism or fiscal conservatism, and it wasn't spent on illegal immigrants, legal or otherwise, and welfare patients. Continuing. Brigitte Bardot, who last year was fined for defamatory remarks she made in an interview with the newspaper Le Figaro, has been doing her part, too. Known defender of animals against the cruelties of man, she has spoken out in particular against the Muslim holy rite of Eid el-Kabir, in which lambs, quote, have their throats cut one after the other with dull blades, unquote. In Bardot's image of a France overrun by Arabs, one can no longer hear the village church bells ringing for the barbaric cries of the muezzin coming from the omnipresent mosques. Although a complete fantasy, I have heard this sentiment echoed by people here in the Midi who tell me that they no longer hear French spoken in the streets, only Arabic. Bear in mind, again, by way of comparison, some of the right-wing inveighing against multiculturalism and bilingual education in particular, something that is increasingly important in California with large numbers of people whose native countries are not the United States. And again, note the similarities in tactics here between the American far right and the American far right. And one should not mistake the tactics of either as conservatism. They are fascism, not conservatism. Continuing. Having been taken to court innumerable times for his own overtly racist remarks, Le Pen now adopts a crypto vocabulary, employing such terms as, quote, the immigration lobby, unquote, and, quote, cosmopolitanism, unquote. He knows that he must appear modern and reasonable, concerned with the bread and butter issues, all the while keeping his blatantly totalitarian long-term agenda only slightly out of focus. On a radio talk show during the election campaign, he was asked by a caller what he would do about Paris's serious pollution problem if elected. Quote, this is a problem of public transport, unquote, he said, again quoting, if fewer people drove their cars into town and took public transport instead, we could conquer the pollution problem, unquote. So far, so good. No ecologist could put it better. But why don't people use buses and subways? Because the large number of daily, quote, aggressions, unquote, and, quote, insecurity, unquote. Everyone knows that in Le Pen's doublespeak, quote, insecurity, unquote, must be read as, quote, immigrant, unquote. Thus, with a deft sleight of hand, he is able to pass along the implicit message, pollution equals Arabs. By the way, I want to note in that regard a recent two-part miscellaneous archive show that I did entitled Ecofascism, the misuse of pro-environmental sentiment in order to generate support for a fascist agenda. There was also a very important book by that same name entitled Ecofascism. Continuing. The Front has found other uses for, quote, ecology, unquote, as well. As Bruno Maigret puts it, quote, why fight for the preservation of animal species while at the same time tolerating the disappearance of certain human races due to general crossbreeding, unquote. The, quote, founder, unquote, of modern ecology, according to Le Pen, is the Nobel Prize-winning chemist Alexis Carrel, C-A-R-R-E-L, who, working under Pétain, promoted the idea of enforced euthanasia via gas chamber for criminals and the deranged. In Avignon, as in other French towns, a campaign is underway to change the street name Rue Alexis Carrel. That this push has been unsuccessful is largely due to the Front's growing power. By the way, I also want to note here the pro-eugenics agenda of the National Front, and note indeed that the Nazi racial laws, which upon which the Nazi extermination programs were predicated, grew inextricably from American eugenics thinking and legislation. In two miscellaneous archive shows, one entitled Euthanasia in Nazi Germany and Contemporary America, the other entitled The Seeds of Nuremberg, I discuss not only the profound American-German eugenics connection, but also how the German euthanasia program, which again began with the sterilization of people with congenital deformities and by terminating the suffering of the terminally ill, gradually grew to the extermination programs exemplified by Auschwitz. And again, the American eugenics influence on the Third Reich's racial legislation and their extermination programs could not be exaggerated, just as the influence of American finance and industry on the rise of fascism in Europe could also not be exaggerated. Continuing. Aside from its traditional hatred of Arabs, the Front has found and demonized another ideological enemy, American culture. Seen as a bastion of, quote, cosmopolitanism, unquote, the sworn enemy of national identity, unquote, the degenerate United States, with its mixed races and libertine culture, seeks to impose l'Américain way of life, unquote, on Europe, and in particular on France. The inheritance of this coca colonization, unquote, is, according to Le Pen, urban ghettos and ethnic violence a la Yankee, quote, fast food is mounting as quickly as immigration, unquote, is a typical slogan, and the Front's election literature speaks of defending, quote, the French language against the mounting hegemony of American expressions, unquote. Explains Bruno Maigret, quote, our model of civilization is far superior to that of the United States of America, far superior to those who are trying to colonize us, unquote. Note in particular the anti-Americanism of the National Front. The recent and vitally important recent book, The Beast Reawakens by Martin A. Lee, published in hardcover by Little Brown Books and copyright 1997, discusses the profoundly anti-American bent in Eurofascism and fascism around the world. In particular, even as we were incorporating the Reinhard Gehlen Nazi Eastern Front spy outfit and the related and heavily overlapping Odessa SS Underground, those same two organizations were also working with the Gehlen organization through its Odessa underpinnings with elements of Soviet intelligence, the common bond being America, the common bond, I should say, being anti-Americanism. In fact, one of the tenets of German world hegemony, has always been to, or I shouldn't say always, since the time of von Bismarck, has been to ally with Russia. And I would note that the anti-American strain in both the former Soviet culture and in not only German Nazi culture, both of the World War II variety and post-World War II variety, but in other Euro-fascist cultures, that anti-Americanism has not only survived and is flourishing today, but during the Cold War, it actually led the Nazi underground, including some of the elements that our intelligence system was working with, to double on the United States and work with the Soviets as well. I suspect the long-term implications of that, not only for the United States, but also for the former Soviet Union, have yet to be discovered. Again, an excellent chronicling of that anti-Americanism and of the post-World War II Third Reich elements collaboration with Soviet intelligence in The Beast Reawakens by Martin A. Lee, hardcover edition, Little Brown Books, copyright 1997. Going back to the Front's, Front National's anti-Americanism, we're going to see yet another element of similarity between the American far right and French fascism, namely not only the demonization of minorities, the Kulturkampf, but the singling out of rap music as some sort of particular demon worthy of fascist attention. Continuing. Public enemy number one is rap music. The reasons for this are obvious. Rap is anti-establishment, anti-police, black, and clearly American in origin. But the Front has found a way to play the issue against Arabs as well. Maigret again, quote, rap is one of the cultural consequences of North African immigration in France. It's contrary to our identity as Frenchmen, unquote. Never mind that the majority of rappers are second or third generation, and that the language they rap in is French. The group Supreme NTM, which stands for Nique ta mère, or F blank 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 your mother, has become the scapegoat for this hostility. Sons of the suburban ghetto, Les Cités, and strongly influenced by their American counterparts, NWA, Niggas with Attitude, That, by the way, is the title of the group. I'm not engaging in vulgarity here. NTM built its career by way of an obligatory hatred of the French police. At a concert in 1995, organized to protest the election of the Front in Toulon, NTM verbally insulted the officers present between refrains of their song, quote, police, unquote. The fascists are not only in Toulon. They're standing right behind you at the entrance. These people are a threat to our freedom. Our enemies are the men in blue. We piss on them. I would also note the, political destructiveness of anti-police sentiment as a generalized political expression. This is not to say that I am in any way unfamiliar with the abuses of police power that have always taken place throughout the world, and that in particular are characteristic of the ascent of fascism, not only in the United States and elsewhere. Numerous works, including many of the programs that are done, for example, on the O.J. Simpson case, on the COINTELPRO program, and in particular the aforementioned series, or the series that I did in early 1996 entitled Specialized Knowledge and Abilities, deal with some of those abuses. But as a general consideration, you know, generalized anti-police sentiment as political sloganeering has an altogether counterproductive political effect and tends to, in the end, benefit the forces of reaction. Continuing. When the police took NTM to court for outrage against the public forces of order, a heavy fine was expected. But in addition, the group was sentenced to 6 months in prison and banned from rapping for 6 months subsequent to their release, a judgment not seen in the French cultural sphere since the middle of the 19th century. I have a hard time reconciling all of this U.S. bashing with what I know of my mechanic, who still watches Dallas reruns and takes his kids for a Big Mac now and then at the local McDo. That, of course, is French corruption of McDonald's. Continuing. But it would be just as difficult to convince the leftists at the local Gras Le Front, fed up with the Front, that this man doesn't wear jackboots and may not even understand the neo-fascist craziness grinding away at his perfectly reasonable fears. He doesn't hate foreigners, but he is genuine. Well, actually, let me preface what I'm about to read. This is as important a passage as there is in this very important article. And again, I think that the similarity between American fascism and French fascism, as exemplified by the National Front, should be understood here. And indeed, I think a moral self-righteousness or ideological simplicity is to be very much avoided, but rather, I think, a deep political understanding of what is going on here is important, because as America and other countries are increasingly under the sway of multinational corporations, as they become deindustrialized with manufacturing facilities being moved to third world countries to take advantage of the low labor costs and more relaxed environmental restrictions, and as the competition for existing jobs increases, the very real economic fears that are felt by the working and lower middle and middle classes are not to be dismissed, and they are not to be dealt with in a trifling fashion. These fears are very, very real, and the fear itself is justified, but the focal point of the fear and the blame has been shifted in the political agendas of organizations like the National Front to powerless people, or relatively powerless people, such as, quote, immigrants, unquote, or people on welfare, or rap musicians, none of which wield the reins of power in industrial societies, France or the United States. But it's very important, I think, to avoid an ideological simplicity and a moral self-righteousness, and to understand the very real plight and the very real suffering, and to understand the viewpoint of people who are the target of National Front or American right-wing political sloganeering and recruiting. And it's important to understand that these people are not in and of themselves bad, but are being manipulated. And it's important to understand what is manipulating them and how the tactics are employed. Beginning again with this passage. I have a hard time reconciling all of this U.S. bashing with what I know of my mechanic, who still watches Dallas reruns and takes his kids for a Big Mac now and then at the local McDo. But it would be just as difficult to convince the leftists at the local Rois Le Front, or fed up with the Front, that this man doesn't wear jackboots and may not even understand the neo-fascist craziness grinding away at his perfectly reasonable fears. He doesn't hate foreigners, but he is genuinely worried about unemployment and the violence in his children's schools. He's a man of the Mediterranean, fiercely independent and suspicious of any wind blowing from Paris. And there's the rub. If the National Front continues to sweep city after city, It will happen not because French people everywhere are turning into fascists, but because they have no real idea what they are letting themselves in for. Ignorance, not cruelty, is what allows the front to thrive. And I have little doubt about the party's ability to install the next round of fascist mayors here in the Mediterranean basin on the shoulders of simple people like the man who fixes my car. In southern France, there is a very strong spirit of independence from Paris. That's not unlike some of the sentiment one sees in the American South and West, the much-ballyhooed Sun Belt. Continuing. My Avignon neighborhood tends to rear up when confronted with the front's fascism. Unquote. They see such charges as indicative of a Paris-inspired conspiracy against them, and this only tends to deepen their commitment to the party. They seem unaware that Le Pen's long-term national program bears a chilling resemblance to the Vichy Révolution Nationale, unquote, even though some of them are the sons and daughters of local resistance fighters who battled the Nazis in the nearby Provençal forests. I run into my front neighbors at our local vegetable market all the time. Thugs? No. Mrs. Average Frenchwoman, a local school marm, the butcher's wife. Will you sign our petition against giving the votes to immigrants? I'm an immigrant myself, madame. Oh, but you're the right kind of immigrant, unquote. Meaning I obviously don't hail from North Africa. Immigrant equals Arab. Immigrants, unquote, are those who, quote, invade, unquote, as Jean-Marie Le Pen has made his choice clear. I'd rather be invaded by Germans than by Arabs. At least they had Goethe and Schiller. The Arabs have never done anything memorable, unquote. In the next passage, Le Pen, the National Front's origins with indeed those very Germans who successfully invaded France in the World War II period, the links and the roots of the National Front to those very invaders is made quite clear. True, tasting the possibility of continuing electoral victory and not wanting to frighten off still wavering constituents, Le Pen has banned all swastikas and Heil Hitlers from Front's rallies. Time and death have eliminated most of the old Führer nostalgics from the party ranks. Their place is now filled by a new generation with no direct line to the Vichyists and Gestapo agents among the founding fathers of the party in the 70s. But Front candidates for the recent elections nonetheless included Jean-Jacques Soussigny, one of the leaders of the OAS, L'Organisation de l'Armée Secrète, a terrorist organization responsible for attacks in both Algeria and mainland France during the early 60s, as well as for an assassination attempt on de Gaulle, and several members of the fascist and anti-Semitic group L'Ouvre Française, and numerous neo-Nazis and Holocaust deniers. If the Teutonic image doesn't suit what is essentially a Mediterranean movement only a stone's throw from the Italian border, many front rallies give off the distinct odor of Duceism. The National Front emblem, in fact, is a three-color flame adapted from that of the now-defunct Italian neo-fascist party MSI, which, depending on whom you ask, stands for either Movimento Sociale Italiano or Mussolini Sei Immortale. And the similarities do not end there. A typical party tactic, well known to most local anti-front demonstrators, is to have its own security men pretend to be plainclothes police, complete with walkie-talkies, leather gloves, and truncheons. At the recent national convention in Strasbourg, these operatives isolated, shoved, and frisked several of the protesters. This practice continues wherever people came to jeer the front. Nationwide, the front support stands at a mere, unquote, 15%. In the South, it is nearly double that, and in some constituencies, it has approached and even topped 50%. I often wonder what it would take to push the percentage high enough to sweep the front to power here in Avignon. Orange, after all, is only half an hour away, and these are the same fiery southern voters, quite a few of them the second or third generation immigrants from the nearby Spanish and Italian frontiers, who are deeply suspicious of newer, quote, foreigners, unquote. It could take anything, I suppose, an Islamic Republic in Algeria forcing thousands of Arabs to seek refuge in France, another crime wave in the suburban areas, or even, a likely candidate, the relentless drive toward a unified European currency, which most people here consider a grave insult. But the truth is perhaps more frightening. The front's ascent may require no catalyst at all. In a country that, after 50 years, still has not completely figured out which side it was on in World War II, it could simply happen. And note that the European Monetary Union is proceeding apace, and that is one of the things that has been, ironically enough, fueling French reaction. Note that in past broadcasts, I've also discussed German intelligence support for the Islamic fundamentalists in Algeria. If they were to come to power, that would indeed hasten the Arab immigration to France. That would in turn advance the agenda of the National Front, with roots in, again, the fascist Vichy collaborationist regime of World War II. Continuing. One recent morning at 8 o'clock, I drove my teenage daughter to the local lycée, which overlooks the Rhône and the Pont d'Avignon of Nursery Rhône. Just outside the gates, amidst the stream of adolescents sleepwalking by, I noticed a small group of interlopers, alert and active, sliding from student to student with rehearsed professional aplomb, talking animatedly to some, carefully avoiding others. They were too well-dressed, too conspicuous to be the drug dealers that haunt all big-town schools. Besides, they were handing out leaflets. This was the Front National de la Jeunesse, the party's youth sector, on early morning recruitment duty. My daughter explained that they wouldn't dare show up at lunchtime or after school. But at 8 a.m., everyone was too zonked to chase them away. By their own admission, these Front kids had been to youth camps where Ride of the Valkyries was piped into their bedrooms at 6 a.m. sharp. Maybe that's why they were so wide awake by 8 o'clock, ready to confront the inevitable avalanche of hostility. And with such efficiency, my daughter told me that once, when their leaflets were confiscated by teachers, the group returned the next day with a new one titled Pouf ou Flic, Teacher or Cop, that damned the adults for intervening. Not the Hitlerjugend, no, but certainly a well-oiled machine, and one with its own student unions, its own summer camps, its own youth clubs, and discos. Before long, the recruiters had slithered back into the shadows. They learned not to outstay their welcome, 3 to 5 minutes max. But that's all they really needed. Of the 2,000 or so youngsters entering these gates that morning, perhaps several hundred would keep the leaflets and read that the only way to ensure security in our high schools is for every student to join the youth organization of the National Front. Of these, perhaps 50 or so would have been victims of, quote, aggression, unquote, and would understand the implicit equation, insecurity equals Arabs. And for some of them, the temptation to belong would be all too real. My daughter assured me that the majority of her high school friends were ready to turn La Jeunesse away by force if necessary. Maybe so, and maybe their mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles would be kicked out of their newly, quote, liberated, unquote, city offices in the next elections. She doesn't have the historical perspective, my daughter. She can be optimistic, but I know better. Sooner or later, the Front will be back. By the way, there's a good description of the subversion of French democracy in the run-up to World War II, and the connections with the underground French organizations, the Croix de Feu and La Cagoule, with the Vichy collaborationist regime in which the Front National has its roots. In the miscellaneous archive series, Why Johnny Can't Identify Il Duce, that is available from Spitfire. Again, the address at Center for Spitfire, Spitfire, one word, Spitfire, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, zip code 95005, email address ALCALAME, that's one word, ALCALAME, at ix.netcom.com. The KFJC webpage has a list of and description of all of the programs available from Spitfire as I speak in early November of 97. It is soon to be updated. Point your web browser at www.kfjc.org. Once again, www.kfjc.org, and look in the public affairs section. That concludes this half-hour segment. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.